Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Yeah? I think we might have missed a couple of our graduates, right? Sierra, are you in here? Oh, she's with the kids? All right. Well, yeah. Sierra is one of them that graduated. If you graduated this year, stand up. Stand up. Let's give them a hand. There you go. All right. Just watching the video makes me think that we have a very bright future. And I hope you feel the same, that you guys also invested in that future. You loved on them probably from a young age, most of them, right? And now you get to see them graduate and be, how do you say it, productive individuals in our society with a purpose to use their gifts for God. And you were a part of that story. And that's awesome. And we want to keep producing that. We want to keep being involved in that. Right, church? Right? And tonight is the start of that. We have VBS going on tonight. Whether you are volunteering or here and bringing your kids, or you're staying home, and this is what we challenge you to do. If you're staying home, pray. Pray for tonight. Pray that God moves in these kids' lives. Pray that God moves in our volunteers' lives. Pray that God moves in our parents' lives. Right? Because this can be the moment that we are celebrating in 20 years, their time to graduate. But more importantly, we get to celebrate that God has moved in their lives and we got to be a part of that story. It's an honor to be invited to be a part of the story that you get to help somebody introduce them to God. Let them know that they're worth so much that God sent his son to die for them. That you get to be a part of that. There's nothing greater in this world. Nothing greater in this world than introducing Jesus Christ to somebody. It is an honor and a privilege, and we should be excited to be a part of that. And this morning, we want to honor our graduates. We want to pray for them. We want to make sure we let them know that we're proud of them, that afterwards that you shake their hand, that you give them a hug, and you let them know that you are praying for them. Because guess what? Now it starts. Now it's real, kind of. College is fun. High school is fun, somewhat. But now you're stepping in it. And whatever your heart and passion that you've led, I want you to know you have a bigger call than what you graduated with. And you are to honor God. And where you work is your mission field for God. I hope you know that. And your church family is behind you and loving on you and praying for you. And whenever you need help, whenever you're struggling, whenever you're frustrated and you think, workplace shouldn't be like this. You have a church family to love on you, to talk to take you to lunch, to be what we have been called to be. Please use us. Please know whether you move away, whether we are still your church family. We love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have designed a system where we can come together weekly and worship you, draw closer to you, and then find a family that loves each other and prays for each other and celebrates the high moments and mourns in the low moments. Lord, we are not called to be alone in this life. You have desired us to be a family and you've designed us to be in community. Lord, sometimes we mess that up. Sometimes we overstep our bounds, and sometimes we need to be corrected. Lord, I pray that you come in and you settle here and that this is your place and we are welcome to be in it. And I pray that we make it holy in this moment. Lord, I pray that we come this morning and maybe relationships need to be mended. I pray that we take that moment to ask for your help with that. Lord, I pray for our college grads as they step in the real world, as they've already been working probably in the real world, Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to live out their faith. I pray that you find where they're at and they know this is the mission field that you've put in their heart. I pray that you give them the strength that they need to live a life for you. I pray that you surround them with a community of believers that they can love, that they can find support, and that they know they're not in this alone. Lord, and I pray that as a church, that we continue to support and love them and pray for them. I pray they always know they have a home here. Lord, you have called us to be a family. A family that lifts each other up, a family that supports each other, a family that sharpens each other. I pray that we discover this in a world that tries to pull us apart every day. We may have differences, Lord, but our one common string is you. And it's the most powerful, uniting force ever. And I pray that we believe that this morning. Lord, be with our grads. Be with our students. I pray they have a great summer. I pray that their future is bright. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that they grow closer to you every day. Lord, as we take our offering this morning, I pray that we trust you to do what you need to do with this offering. I pray that we give with our hearts full of joy. Lord, may we honor you with what we give. Lord, I pray that that we understand it's your gift and that you will do amazing things with it. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of it. Amen.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and that we have not been yet made known. But we see him as he is, all that he has hope and purified himself just as he is pure.
That's John, our 1 John 3, 1 through 4. Thank you, Natalie. So first off, you know, Tim's already talked about it. You see stuff that's different up here, right? We got a train up here, right? I've been told I should start at the beginning of my sermon so you know, hey, this is the start of it, and as I get going, you know where I'm getting close to being done. But this morning, I need to be close to my notes, I feel like. I don't have it. I still have vacation brain. I don't know. But, you know, when I get closer, I'll stand by the caboose and be like, all right, it's almost lunchtime. All right, right? But, man, this is awesome. Our VBS team is awesome. I walked in this morning, and I have no clue that what was going to be set up, right? I'll give them a hand. You're right. We got train tracks in here. I love one of my board members, he didn't see it, he was standing outside, and he looked, and he was like, what happened to the carpet? And then he walked in, and he's like, oh, okay, this is awesome, right? But we're set up for tonight. We're set up to be able to minister to kids, and that is so awesome. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited to be here tonight and just see their faces and have fun and watch them run around and, you know, be crazy, right? Because that's what they have. They have all that energy, whereas, like, I'll probably need to be on vacation again after VBS. But, no, it is so good to be here. I'm excited what God is doing. Just to let you know some of the other things that have gone on, this Friday night, we had 19 teenagers. We had a bridge event for our incoming sixth graders into the youth group. We had 19 teenagers together, and they did a lock-in last night. So we got a couple that are really tired, especially our youth pastor and his wife, right? They're tired. They were up from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m., just having fun with 19 kids, right? What an awesome thing. God is moving, right? God is moving. I want you to know, I being a youth pastor for over 20 years, the last, like, 6 years of my youth ministry, I did 3 lock-ins a year. It took me like a week to recover from each one. And I used to joke with my wife that I had lost a year of my life down the road for each lock-in I had. They are tough. It's work. You don't stop. You keep moving, and you sweat from 9 a.m. to 8 a.m., and you're hoping and praying that nobody gets hurt, nobody throws up, nobody runs away, all those things, and you're establishing relationships. And I want to give praise to Harrison. Man, he's stepped up, and he's doing an awesome job. I'm excited for what our youth ministry is doing in our community. All right? So my daughter came up here and read. This is going to be our main verse for today. It is 1 John 3:1-3, and it says this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I could stop there, right? It has an exclamation point right after that. To see that we are children of God. That he views not just the little ones, but he views all of you his children. I want you to know, I love my kids. I had one of the things that my family loves to do, first off, vacations are amazing. We love doing vacation together. We love being in the car together. I know it sounds weird, but we have been, every time we take a vacation, we don't fly, we drive. And it's usually Michelle has picked the furthest distance away from wherever we live. All right? So we go to Montana because we have family out in Montana. Or we go to Florida like we did this last week, and I've got family in Florida. And it's just, we were in the car 18 hours, 19 hours, like it was 2 days. We were in the car. And we just have fun. We have fun because we love each other. We have fun because I want you to know, I love my kids. It's incomparable how much God loves us. Loves you. He calls you his children of God. All right? And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they do not know him. All right? Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, he shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. All right? As I was working through this sermon, I wanted to kind of make it towards an educational thought process. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the parable of the pencil, but it's out there. It's been out there for a long time. And parables are awesome. Parables is the way that Jesus taught. It's taken something simple during its context, during its time, its culture, and giving it a more deeper understanding. Just basically giving us the gospel in a way that we can understand it because they just weren't getting it, right? Well, the parable of the pencil is this, all right? Before I get into this, this is a pencil, right? This is a pencil. In fact, it's a number 2. Did you guys know there's other numbers besides number 2? You just can't take Scantrons with them, right? Right? And if you do, then it won't count. I used to try to do it with other pencils so I could be like, oh, I have an excuse, Mom. Right? No. My favorite part of the pencil is the eraser. Right? Anybody else like the eraser? There we go, right? Just, okay, all right. Erasers are now unite, right? You guys notice something about this pencil? Not sharpened, right? You can't really, all you can do right now is erase things. In this eraser in your life, too, I want you to think about some stuff. It is easy to hold on to our mistakes. Let me repeat that. It is easy to hold on and be defined by our mistakes. I want you to understand that God can come in if we allow him and erase all those mistakes. Now, we get it. Within our time period on this earth, we will still probably hold on to them. But our Creator and Maker, if we allow him, he will never acknowledge it again. The moment that eraser of our life touches on our mistakes and we say, please forgive us, it is completely gone. I want you to know, that is an amazing task. Because I can look back at my life and I go, I know who has done me wrong. Right? I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. I know the areas in my own life that I have totally messed up on. And I will tell you, it's tough to get rid of that. It's tough not to be confined by that. It's tough to not be caged by that. Hebrews 10 says this, that he comes in and says, this sin is not yours to carry. If you allow me, I will take care of it and wash you clean. But there's something in that we tend to not want to do, and that is release it. Not let it go. Almost to a point that we're defined by our mistakes more than God's glory. Right? For me, the eraser as a student helped me understand that was never there. I didn't do that. It's gone, and I fixed it. That is such a blessing as a student. Imagine being able to do that with your walk with God. That your Creator and Maker, the one that loves you most, that has called you children of him, that sent his Son to live, breathe, be, teach, for you, die for you, doesn't hold anything against you. And it's clean. You're a clean sheet. Right? The other aspect is, first off, we notice who we are. This is a pencil. We are people. We are made in the image of God. We have an identity. Many people don't know that. But we are a fortunate few because we've been told, because we acknowledge, because we believe God has created us. God has created you. He loves you so much that he has the down to how many hairs you have on your head. And I feel like lately he's had to keep counting. I'm losing some. I have a teenage daughter now. Right? It's getting grayer. Right? So he keeps count. I want you to understand, this is the same God that has created our Milky Way. And if you take the perspective here, our Earth is like a pea, like just a little tiny thing within that universe. And he put everything in place so it is organized and it's beautiful and it's functional and it praises his name. And then all of a sudden we come down to Earth, right? And if you look at the big picture of Earth, we are but an ant on this. And then you come down to Springfield and we are a mass. We have a mass. And you come down to this moment. This is how amazing and huge God is that he knows your name, knows your birth, knows your hurts and your wants, knows your scars. The same God that created the Milky Way and cared enough for that is the same God that is intimate enough to know you by your name and call you. That's who you are. All right? Now, the other aspect. This is a little bit different. We have a sharpened pencil here, right? Exposed lead, right? And even the eraser looks like it's half chewed up. It's been used. All right? Let me explain what the sharpened pencil looks like for Scripture. We sharpen each other with what? Scripture. Many of us have a tendency that iron sharpens iron, right? Anybody heard that? Right? You know what the Scripture does? It's a double-edged sword. Do you understand what that was meaning back then? That the reader that reads this is going to be sharpened, and the one that he delivers it to is going to be sharpened. So when you sharpen your brother or sister, what do you do it in? Right, but you do it with Scripture. Right? And you don't weaponize Scripture. You don't come at somebody and like, hey, this is what you are wrong. Like, you come in and go, no, listen, let me explain what life looks like from what I've been reading. Scripture is alive. And it breathes in you. And I want you to know, too, like, when you sharpen this exposes the lead. When our lives are sharpened, it's painful. It's not easy. I thought about bringing up like the old-timey pencil sharpener and then having like the shavings drip down on the floor. And I thought, oh, people would just see the mess I'm making and be like, what's wrong with this guy, right? But I wanted you to understand as we live this life and if we're allowing Scripture and each other to sharpen each other, guess what starts to happen? We start to expose areas in our life that need to be confronted. Right? And it isn't easy. And I will tell you, I think for years now, church, we've been a little scared to do this. Some of it is because we don't have necessarily the relationship that we need to have with each other. We come once a week. We spend, what, maybe 2 hours here. Sometimes it's a little bit longer because I get winded, you know. But we have that little bit of time. And then we have a Wednesday night, and maybe we have a Sunday school. Or maybe we have small groups. I want you to know, like, I have cherished my rooted group. It has gotten me to know my group. It's gotten me to pray for them. It's gotten me to live a life with them that is beyond just a Sunday morning moment. Now I know what their struggles are. Now I know how to be praying for them. Now I know how to confront. Not because I'm that person that's like, oh, I can't wait to tell them that they're living their life wrong. Woo! My heart hurts for my brother and sister that is going the wrong way. Not because I'm sitting up here above them, because I love them the way that God has loved me. What if we looked at the world through those eyes too? And not through the issues of this world. You see, the Word of God comes in, if we honestly are reading it, it will transform us into a fine point. Now let's talk about the lead. The lead is the heartbeat of everything. Right? It's the mechanism that we actually put to paper and leaves a mark. And it can be tender and it can be tough. and it needs to be used. What is this if it just sits here? Is it a pencil? It's nothing, right? It's another paperweight. But when it's in my hand and it's two paper, what is it? It is being made, it is being used for what it's made. Right? I want you to understand this. You have been made in the image of God. Can you just sit still with that? Does God sit still? There are people that need his message. There are people in your family that need his message. There are people in your world that need his message. And you are made in the image, and he is giving you the tools, and he has said, this is how you do it. Go and love your brother and sister. Go meet them at the well. Go meet them where they live. Go and love on them. Sacrifice for them. Go the extra mile. This is what that lead does when it's centered around God. Right? Now, I started thinking about if there have been many times in my life I thought about doing, I don't know, a blog or something to write about. And there are many times I've gone, nobody wants to know what I have to say. Right? And what would I say? Unless it's centered around God. There are many times that, in fact, me and my friend, his name is Ryan. I love him to death. Hi, Ryan. He might be watching. He's also a pastor, but we were pastors together in Decatur. We were staff, and so it was a little bit different. We would go to, I've talked about this, we would go to B-dubs after Wednesday night. He was younger, he's in his 20s. I'm now in my 40s. I will tell you, after Wednesday night with teens, there was many times I didn't want to fall asleep in my wings, right? Eating wings at 9, it's a different thing when you're 40 compared to when you're 20. But I want you to know, the interaction that I had with him, and we would get on Facebook Live. I don't know why, right? And we would have a lot of fun. We talk about ministry, and we talk about life, and we talk about what it means to minister. But the more important thing is we also got to interact with the waitress, and we know her names. We knew their names, and they actually came up to us and asked us for prayer, like in the middle of B-dubs. Man, that's awesome, right? But those moments, like we had a night where we decided, hey, let's challenge each other. Let's order our B-dubs and go to somebody's house that's part of our church and just sneak on their deck and eat our meal and see how long it would take for them to notice that we're there. Now, someone we knew, we can't go to their place. We might get shot. All right? Now, and we knew, like, the people that we would sit at their deck, we knew they also watched every night with us because they had teens, they had kids in the children's department, so they were like, we were just waiting for them to get on and them to recognize, I think that's our patio furniture, which was awesome, right? But in the grand scheme of it, like, that story is not something that we included other people. When we included other people in our story, people wanted to be a part of it. But when we just told our story consistently and it was just about us and our little world that we found ourselves in, nobody really wanted to be a part of that. I want to tell you what it means to write a story that people want to hear. All right? Let me read John 1. 1 John 1 says this, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at with our own hands and have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life." Now the word there is capitalized. Do you know why the word there is capitalized? Because it stands for Jesus. All right? Jesus, one of the names that Jesus had in Scripture was the Word. "The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim it to you that the eternal life in which was with the Father has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you that you have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." This is how he began 1 John. All right? He's writing a story that is about Jesus. Right? Do you understand that your life resembles this pencil. It's a parable. You have the options to allow God to erase the issues in your life, the sin that you carry, the mistakes that you burden. If you ask Him, He'll get rid of it. If you repent, you won't have to deal with it. And let's talk about the word repent real quick, right? Repent is a simple thought process. It means I'm going in one direction, and I continue to go this direction until I decide, hey, this isn't the direction in which I need to be going. And I repent. And I don't have peripherals. I don't have, oh, what was? I go. And I continue to go the complete opposite direction. Because my life is different, and the trajectory in which I'm going is different. And that's what it means to repent. To repent from something that you know that God doesn't want part of your life, that we consistently probably have issues with. God wants to alleviate those issues. God wants to come into your life and say, you don't have to have the burden of that anymore. Trust me. I know who you are because I created who you are. And I have a better life for you. And to repent means I'm going the complete opposite of what was and have no desire to go back to it. It's not there anymore. I let it go. Man, what a new life that looks like. That's why in Scripture it talks about being born again, because it's totally different from what I... Imagine my own worldview and everything that I saw in my world was this way. And it was miserable. I want you to understand, people live that way today. They don't know there's other way. They don't know there's a hope in their life that could change them from what they live and see. And you are called to write a story that is based around God to show them and point them this way to God. And the problem is, we sit here, I think, on a Sunday and go, oh, Pastor, you need to be the one that brings this story. And you're totally right. I want to bring this story. And I want you to bring your friends. But the important thing, too, is there is established understanding of what Scripture says for you to be doing. The same exact thing with your neighbors, your coworkers, with your families. If you love people, if you love the people that are around you, you don't see them for the stuff that they're doing. You see them for how God wants and desires for them. Because the same people, the same love that you know God has created in you and for you, is the same love that God has created for the other. It's no different. They're just different. And again, praise God, there's differences. We have people up here that have talents that I could never do. You don't want me leading worship, right? You don't want Jackson leading worship, right? He said right on. I didn't put him down, right? We all have different gifts and understandings, but we are all been called to be part of a story that is not ours, but His. And we get to be a part of writing it and including it. He's allowed us to include our gifts, our talents, our understanding of life in this and to be a part of this. He's designed you personally for a reason. It might be you reach one person. That one person can change a whole culture from this point on. It might be that you change a coworker and love on them, and it's the first time they've ever had somebody say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. That God has a better life for you. It might be for your spouse that you've been fighting with nonstop. To let them know, you know, God's bigger than this. And I lay myself down and I love you and I respect you. How can I be the husband or wife that you need to be? Maybe it's to be a father or a mother that God has called you to be. or a coworker. But before we all do that, we have to understand, we have to recognize what we were made and created for. It is not to write a story that is centered around me. It's not to write a story that's centered around you. It is a story that is bigger than this world. It is a story that the same one that created the Milky Way, the earth, the Springfield that we live in, to right here. He created all this to glorify his name, and we get to be a part of it. Now that we know that, what do we do with that? We cannot sit idly by when Scripture says, are we full of joy? See, what another thing too is to understand what I've been writing. Is it been full of joy? And joy is not happiness. It's different from happiness. Joy is understanding through all the ugly and through all the stuff that we go through daily and nightly and the world that we live in, man, it looks miserable, that I can find joy knowing that God has got this. That he's redeemed this, that he's making this good, and that in it, whew, the world would fall apart if I didn't have him. Right? That I don't have to look at anybody else and go, without your love, I can't make it. But the reality is this, without God's love, I don't know where I would be today. Without God's forgiveness and his call on my life, I don't know what I would be doing today. It probably wouldn't be good. God came in, he changed my life. I understood that, and I decided I no longer want to walk this way. I want to have a productive life for God that is used, and the lead inside my heart changed from being selfish and desiring everything that I wanted to living a life that was worthwhile living for God and others. And it has changed how I view this world. It's changed how I see people. Now, do I continue need to be forgiven sometimes? Trust me, I just drove 18 hours in traffic. Give your life to God. Allow him to cleanse you. Maybe you've led a life that it has been sharpened and it's dull and needs to be resharpened, needs to revisit God's word, needs to be revisited, be with people and go, hey, I need your prayer. I need to confess to you this is what's been going on in my life. I need to sharpen. Maybe you need to go and start writing a story that's not yours, but his. And be a part of something that's bigger than all of us. Stand with me, church. This is your charge, to be praying for VBS tonight. All right? Be praying for those hearts and souls that are coming tonight. Be praying for the families. Also be asking yourself, where do I see myself in the world of the pencil? What do I need? Do I need to be sharpened? Do I need to repent and allow God to wash me clean, erase my mistakes? Do I need to be telling the story that God has put on my heart? That is for you to figure out this week, to be praying about. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your scripture that you give us. Lord, I pray that we are ready to be the church that you've called us to be here. I pray that we are wanting to write the story that you put on our hearts to tell this world that there's a better life out there. There's a real life too here. One full of joy. That's not based in our circumstances here, but based in the forgiveness and salvation in you. Lord, I pray this morning that we have a new hope, that we desire to be closer to you, that we desire your call on our life, and that we know we can't do this alone. I pray that you put people in our lives that can help sharpen us. I pray that maybe we get offended, but at one moment we understand and go, oh, this was done out of love. Lord, teach us to grow. I pray the story that we write this week is one that you're at the center of. We thank you for all that you've done, dear Lord. Thank you for our grads. Please be with them, dear Lord. Be with our students during this summer. Lord, I pray that they desire to grow closer to you every day. I pray that we are a church that is inspiring our youth to live a life for you. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord. May we continue to follow you this week, and may we grow and be sharpened by your word. Amen. Church, you're dismissed.